Let's go to Kathy on line one. Kathy Cummings, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. I'm real good. How about you?
I'm having a great time here. And on the last work day of the year from, well, that's not true. I'll be working tomorrow. I don't get many days off. But you're a celebrity, Kathy.
I am.
I mean, this is the Chicago Tribune here. I'm looking at the business section. Uh-huh. I don't know which section it is, but get today's paper, go to the business section. You can also find the link on my Facebook page. I would advise people who are listening to the show, there are two ways you can find out about this story, and one is to go to the business section. John Yates does a column called What's Your Problem? And he, you know, helps people with their problems and tries to get answers. But if you can also, and that is linked to the Mike Novak Show on Facebook. And I hope people will go there because I'm looking for likes for the end of the year. So I want to thank Tom Shepard who put the link up there on the Mike Novak Show. If you'll see it, it's called Problem Solver Award-Winning Garden Ticketed for Weeds. The other place you can find information about this is at MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. I've written about it this week. I don't know if you saw that, Kathy, but if you get a chance, you can go take a look at that.
Okay, I will.
When we left off last week, you had told me that you had been ticketed by the city. It was a $600 fine plus $40 court costs.
Yeah.
Total $640. Now, I kind of misunderstood because I've had some people write to me and say, because I thought you were going back in for another court date, but what you explained to me on the phone the other day was that it is you had 35 days from the fine being issued to appeal.
Right.
And that takes it to what, the 3rd of January?
Right.
And the appeal is just basically to what? Show up with a check or show up with and say, I want to appeal, or send them a notice? How does that work?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I've never done this before. And I'm thinking that I have to go to the Daly Center, 6th floor, and pay for the appeal. I think you pay in advance.
Uh-huh.
And it's $317. I've been told that pays for the court time, you know, like you're booking some time in it. And it's the circuit court. I don't know what happens. I think maybe they send you a date or send me a date.
All right. Well, let's get people caught up in case they didn't catch this last week. Basically, in 2004, Kathy's Garden received a first place as the most naturalized city garden in Mayor Daley's Landscape Awards program. This year...
On Halloween.
Was it actually on Halloween?
Yes.
All right. Happy Halloween!
That's where the world started to get really surreal.
Yeah. On Halloween, you got ticketed by the city for being in violation. What exactly? I wasn't able to download that document you sent me with the scary words on the ordinance, the ticket that you got.
The scary words were on the notice of collection.
Uh-huh.
But the ticket looks like a sort of a parking meter ticket, blue and white. And I was actually cited for two things. One was weeds exceed 10 inches, and the other one was accumulation of materials junk. And that caused me to want to talk to the ticket maker, because or the ticket signer or sender, because I didn't know what they meant by junk. And still don't. But in any case, when at the hearing, the judge threw it out anyway because he didn't have any photos to substantiate it.
Well, it sounds like you just whoever it was just checking off stuff. Just figured cover all bases and to make sure you got your fine.
Right.
So you have this opportunity to appeal. Problem is, I would assume that And I should go back and say that, folks, these weeds are all native plants. If you didn't catch this last week, the point is, Kathy knows what she's doing. In fact, I was thinking about that after we talked last week, Kathy, and you were ticking off all of the different natives that you're growing in your yard.
Right.
And I'm betting most people have no idea what plants grow in their yard.
But, I know.
But they don't get tickets for it.
Right.
You do. And you're the one who received the fine.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I'm going to bring in. I've lost Danny. We're going to need some help here. Suzanne Malik McKenna was on the line, and I've just lost her. Well, let's see if we can track Danny down and get him back here.
Okay.
But I wanted to go through a couple of things. One of the interesting things about the story here, John. Kathy, is John's story in the Tribune.
Mm-hmm.
He went to your alderman, Procojo Moreno, who's because you're in the first ward.
He actually did, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it says here, it says in a letter dated December 13th, the alderman wrote to the city's Department of Revenue on Cummings' behalf asking the city to dismiss the citation. Were you aware of that?
Well, I went in there asking him for a letter.
You went into
the alderman's office, yeah, and asked that he write that letter.
And here's quoted in the article: as you may know, monarch butterflies, Illinois state insect, have essential connection with milkweed for food and laying their eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Moreno wrote, "Please give this request all due favorable consideration."
Right. Yeah, that was in the letter.
And then it says he writes. The problem solver called city spokeswoman Kathleen Strand, mm-hmm. who looked into Cummings' case.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tough one, she says, but the administrative law officer at administrative hearings looked at all the evidence, heard the case, and made a decision, Strand said in an email.
Mm-hmm.
If she does not agree with the hearing decision and fine, she can go to circuit court for administrative review of the case.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here, Kathy, that Strand said Cummings was given the minimum fine for her infraction. $600 is the minimum fine, apparently, for this
right.
infraction.
Yeah, the maximum was $1,200.
Oh,
and then you
gosh.
Know about the junk? That was the minimum was $300 on that one.
Wait, I'm surprised, actually, that the junk is the lesser of the fines. That's very odd to me. Well, okay. Well, Suzanne Malik McKenna is back, and she is. Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
Howdy, Mike. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being with us. I know you're out of town, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Suzanne Malik McKenna is the director of the Regional Trees Initiative for the Morton Arboretum, senior counsel for energy and the environment at Jaskolka? Is that how you pronounce it?
Jaskolka Terman.
Jaskolka Terman and Associates. And, of course, former commissioner, Chicago Department of the Environment, a department that does not exist anymore. But it was under your tenure, 2008, that this weed ordinance was constructed. I sent you a copy of what I think is the pertinent portion of it, Suzanne.
Right.
What was the intention there in putting let me read this part here. It says the purpose of these rules and regulations is to provide guidance on determining whether vegetation is a quote weed within the meaning of section 728.120 of the Municipal Code of Chicago, and as such is subject to the restrictions and abatement measures set forth in the section, and then definitions as used in section 728.120 of the Municipal Code of Chicago, and in these rules and regulations, weed or weeds means vegetation that is not managed or maintained by the person who owns or controls the property on which all such vegetation is located and which, on average, exceeds 10 inches in height. I think the interesting point is on average.
Mm-hmm. Right. So let me just say this. I think that the intention of this ordinance was to get away from the concept of anything that's called a weed. And so the intention is that it leaves discretion to the commissioners. Then it was myself, and I think it was Mike Bacardi at the time.
Yes, that's correct.
with the understanding that, that native plants aren't weeds. That, but as we all know, that the not the general public, but I would say a slice of public who aren't aware of native plants, there's nothing wrong with that, but they see it as unkempt. And there are communities that see it as unkempt. They see mown lawns as being cared for. And so our intention there was that everything that's tall is not a weed, and that it's really about not being cared for. Your native landscape is cared for. It just looks different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and on average was a very important point because there are a lot of low plants, high plants, et cetera, and the issue in a lot of regards are people sometimes don't feel safe if there's a lot of tall vegetation, just like geese don't feel safe, which is a good thing. So I think that it has been misinterpreted. And when we first did the ordinance, and it was the intention, I'm trying to remember the name of the group. I want to say Wild Ones, but that's the conference at Chicago Wilderness. But there's a group that was really organizing for backyard landscape, native landscape. Is that what they were named?
Well, Center for Neighborhood Technology right now is handling the Sustainable Backyards program.
Right, right. But I'm thinking there was a nonprofit who for years, you know, we talked to and tried to figure out if there was a way that we could codify this so that there was more of an understanding about native landscapes. And this is what we came up with. And so it's not perfect. There's no question about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it sounds as though it could be interpreted a number of ways. It's still... It doesn't really address the complexity of growing natives in an urban setting.
Right.
Yeah, but this is the problem with that. If you it is impossible to really identify a lot about complexity when it comes to an ordinance.
Sure.
So you have to try and describe it in a way. And believe me, we had a lot of people thinking this through. It may not seem like it, but it's really difficult to pass ordinances and codes. We've done a lot of it when I was in that department, because we thought it was really important to protect, you know, public health and safety and really get people to understand what we're dealing with. But that is actually an intention to allow people to have native landscapes and people to understand, you know, that a native landscape is okay. Now, the trick to that is that the people who are out inspecting understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it has not worked clearly in this situation.
Oh.
When we first did this 4 years ago, we did a training with both our inspectors at Department of Environment and streets and sand inspectors. And I think, you know, when we do ordinances, we have an invasive species ordinance. We have a range of different things, you know, to protect, in essence, our landscapes and allow for our landscapes to grow and change with the times, especially in light of climate. So we, for instance, have species of trees, shrubs, perennials, both terrestrial and aquatic now, that we say cannot be planted in the city of Chicago because of the fact that they've changed and become invasive. An example is burning bush, which is astonishing to people, privet, things like that. So the weed ordinance, as described, was to get people to understand that because it's tall, it's not bad, but that the area is around discretion. And I think what's missing here is that we need to do some more training of our inspectors and remind them what this ordinance means. The junk part, all I can imagine is that it's the taller plants collect stuff. So if it's a windy day and paper flows down the street, it lands in the plants. That's the only thing I can imagine that would be.
Okay. I shouldn't have mentioned it at all, I think, because the judge dismissed that.
Oh, good. Okay.
There were no photos of it.
Yeah,
ticket, it did say that that plants over 10 inches, high weeds over 10 inches, shelter for rodents. And I've never seen a rodent in my native plant garden. I certainly don't allow trash to accumulate in there.
It's very possible that there's been a complaint from a neighbor. Because oftentimes that happens, and they're using that as, you know, one of their fear factors, right? That, you know, there's going to be something hiding there, just like the parks at one point cut down all their shrubs, their understory, because people were afraid people would jump out from it, that they'd hide from it and commit crime. So this is very much a perception over reality situation. That's my take on it.
Well,
and I think that what we need to do is follow up and find out, you know, where the relief is in this. And unfortunately, I've been out of the game for about a year and a half, so I'm not sure. I assume it was a streets and sand ticket. Yes.
Yes. It was okay. It was streets and sand that issue. Now, were they the same group that were responsible 4 years ago?
It was streets and sand and environment, because both commissioners signed, we're both able to enforce.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, and there's a difference right there. And again, as Suzanne said, she's not part of the city anymore. This is, you know, she's been away from this for a year and a half. But if you had the Department of the Environment involved and Streets and Sand said, oh, here's a place where we want to issue a ticket, they could look at it and say, oh, well, wait a second. These are natives and I don't think this applies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all part of that education that mm-hmm. Suzanne's talking about, is that people need to know what they're ticketing.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't mean, I want to be clear, it doesn't mean that things don't fall through the cracks, because typically when a ticket's written, it's not like Streets and Sand calls Environment and says, hey, what do you think of this? No, sometimes they do. And oftentimes a request like that would be just sent to us and we'd go out and take a look at it. But I think there's probably, and I know there was some discussion earlier, Mike, about, well, they're just trying to generate revenue. I don't think that's the case. I think that it's probably more along the lines of, you know, we have a lot of foreclosed homes, not saying that you're in that kind of neighborhood at all, Kathy, but there's, you know, we've got a challenge on our properties now across the city. When once we had 60,000 vacant lots, when Mayor Daley took office and we had a lot less at the end, now with all the foreclosures and distressed properties, we have more boarded up buildings, we have more vacant lots. And so I think there's an intention to try and keep the communities feeling, looking safe, what have you. And again, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So I think this, again, was a discretionary thing. Somebody looked at it. They got a complaint. They wrote a ticket. They felt they were probably being responsive, which is good, but perhaps in the wrong direction.
You know, that's Suzanne Malik McKenna, former Commissioner, Chicago Department of the Environment, currently Director of Regional Trees Initiative for the Morton Arboretum. I also have Kathy Cummings, award-winning garden designer, I guess, because it's your garden and your design. And if folks want to take a look at this, they can go to my website, mikenovak.net. I've got a couple of photos of the garden. One is in the fall. You can see a lot of leaves around. But that happens in the fall. Guess what, folks? Trees drop their leaves. But what it does show is your lovely fences that you created out of natural wood. And then there's another one that shows the garden in the summer or spring. I it's green. That's all I have to say. I don't know exactly which month that was taken.
And Kathy, I remember when you got that award, because I think that was the first year we did what we called Naturalistic Garden Award, because we were trying to reflect that there is this different kind of garden that's not, you know, what would be considered more formally maintained, and we wanted to start encouraging that. And again, that's why we also started the Sustainable Backyard program, to get more people into the game of understanding what natives and other plants that provide ecosystem services can do for us.
Yeah, I was told that the fact that I'm a beekeeper and I was planting plants that the bees would appreciate was part of the factor.
Right.
What do you mean you were told that that was a factor?
Well, that that was why they created a new category called naturalized.
I think, you know, that could be it, but I think it's more the range of it. I think it's more identifying and acknowledging this different type of landscape, not only the beauty of it, but also the many functions that it provides, from stormwater capture to habitat, you know, to a range of things. So I think it was really more, it was to acknowledge that there is this type of landscape that not everybody knows or understands or appreciates, but that deserves acknowledgement. And that's why we started that.
I want to read something that Kathy sent me, and this was written by one of her neighbors. It's just part of it. And it goes like this. As a neighbor living directly across Thomas Street from Ms. Cummings, I can say that I have never thought that her property has in any way appeared neglected or dilapidated. I have often seen Ms. Cummings working in her front yard maintaining its appearance. In addition to maintaining her own property, I have witnessed Ms. Cummings picking up litter all along our stretch of Thomas Street, as well as on nearby blocks of streets she does not live on, such as Haddon. The city could scarcely have selected a more inappropriate citizen to cite for this type of violation. In a city filled with abandoned homes, unfinished construction projects, and homes generally falling into disrepair, to single out Ms. Cummings for her choice of plants that grow in her front yard is scandalous. That's what one of her neighbors said. Yeah, I know. That's just amazing.
But in the same light, what we understand, and this is going to go toward the philosophical argument that we could do 12 shows on, Mike, there is a real perspective from a lot of people that that is not attractive. And Joan Nassauer from University of Michigan did this great study with the Forest Service here in Chicago that showed, it was a visual elicitation study where you'd look at one landscape versus another. And you'd basically show what you'd vote on what's pleasing to you. Mm-hmm. And what she learned was if you mow a little strip right in the front or something like that in certain landscapes, it gives people the impression that it's cared for. So there's really a psychological and social aspect of this as well that not only inspectors but neighbors, probably gather besides the neighbor across the way. And that's the problem. That's the challenge we face.
You know, it's interesting because I saw Joan speak here in Chicago several years ago, and she has this thing called the 50% rule, which is if you go beyond 50%. With plants versus lawn, then people get tense, and that's when they start to rebel. On the other hand, you could look at these photos that Kathy has. You were saying it needs to look like it's tended. Her fences alone tell you that it's tended because she's got them neatly intertwined.
It's beautiful.
It is absolutely beautiful. I'm just sharing with you what sometimes the perspective is on this stuff, and it is not necessarily a good or bad perspective. It's again that beauty in the eyes of the beholder perspective. But I think this requires, a further conversation with Streets and Sand. There's some really great leadership there, and I'm sure it has not trickled up very far. And of course, the city stance is we wrote a ticket. We need to back up our people. But they're also, willing to sit down and talk about it. So, I think not only for the purposes of the importance of this argument, but for sticking up for Kathy, I would like to chip in for the appeal. And I think we should go for it. And I'm willing to cover half of it.
See
if you're... if your members would help, Mike. This is just off the top of my head, by the way. But I think we should do it. I think we should go in. I think we should have the conversations. I think it'll be a really interesting experience as well for your listeners about how the system works. It sounds like the system isn't working, but it actually is. It's just been interpreted in a way that isn't helpful.
I'll tell you what.
You know what I mean?
I'll tell you what, Suzanne. I'll throw in the other half.
Wow.
Okay, so you do one half...
Let's get your members to chip in. Let's get people
listeners?
$5. This is grassroots, people. Grassroots at its best.
Here's the problem with that. It's soliciting funds...
Oh, yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
On the radio, unless I have a not-for-profit, I don't think I can do that. But I can pitch in And you can pitch in, I'll bet the folks around here we could get enough money to cover the appeal because we need to make this known that this is an injustice, and we need to follow through because if Kathy doesn't appeal, it just moves on to the next person.
Right.
Yeah.
That is done. Right. And so I will give advice to all involved here, which is. It's a campaign, but don't be offended. In the light of things, of all the things that go on in the city, the city, whether it would have been me there or others, are not going to find it to be the injustice all of us do. And the reason I want to say this is because how we handle it makes a huge difference.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we should handle it, you know, with all the best intentions, assuming that, mm-hmm. you know, there's just been some misunderstandings or, you know, the training has fallen behind or what have you. I can take some credit. You know, it's really hard to keep up on ordinances and keep people up to speed, et cetera. So I'm just saying that just because, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore
right.
process probably won't be as successful as others.
No, Suzanne, it's just the right way to go.
Okay.
Hey, listen, I gotta tell you here. These are my listeners. I just got a text from Jack Pizzo. He says, "Count me in." He says,
"Hey, Jack, way to go, Jack."
Jack Pizzo.
I love you, Jack.
Well, you know what we could really use is an attorney with an environmental background.
So let me just ask you this: so it's the appeal is just paperwork, right?
I don't know.
You don't need to. I don't think you
really
have to go to court.
I've never
all right, and that's the other thing, Kathy. We have to figure out what this is very quickly. I know you're kind of uncertain about this. What we really need is a lawyer to step up. And help guide us just at least through the next few days. So if there's anybody out there who's got some experience in doing this kind of appeal, please contact me, mike@mikenovak.net. Because
and again, I don't think this is, I don't want to, that if somebody wants to give us some pro bono law support, I don't think it'll be much to just take a look at what the process is.
Yeah, that's all we're asking for, the process.
Appeal.
Right, exactly.
And I really think that it's probably just filling out a form. You don't come in and do a deep dive appeal in front of the court because you're probably not even on the docket. You just have a deadline for submitting your appeal. That's my guess. But if you want to send it to me, Kathy, I can take a look at it as well. I think this would be a really good process for us to undertake together. It'll teach us all about how some of these things work. And then we'll find a way to get it solved.
A learning experience.
Exactly. Well, and I want to change things. I think it's important that the work that Suzanne started as commissioner of the Department of the Environment and those people that worked with her, it was to educate the city departments so that they would recognize when this was beneficial, when you were putting native plants in. And I think some of that has gone away. It's lapsed a little bit. I think, you know, you get new people, you get turnaround in different departments, and they need to understand that this is not, these are not weeds. These are plants.
Right.
They help conserve stormwater. They reduce energy costs. I mean, they help beneficial insects and birds.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes on and on. The benefits of growing native plants, and that needs to get across to the staff at the Streets and Sand Department.
Right, and again, I've worked with them for years, and they're really great. And so I just think really it's a misunderstanding and a conversation we need to have. So I'm happy to participate in this. I think what we should do is take a look at the paperwork, see what needs to happen. I'm pretty sure it's probably just a paperwork submittal on that day. And then we can sit down and look at it. And, Mike, I think it'd be kind of fun to talk about this. Kathy, you might not find this fun. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sure I will. I'll be
but
there.
Kind of talk through the kind of the steps that you undertake in such a situation. It is a little bit of government 101.
Yeah, it is. I think that's an excellent idea because I don't think a lot of people know how to deal with the city. Kathy, you were telling me that, you know, you went into that hearing when you first got your ticket,
mm-hmm.
and you said there were a lot of people there, and a lot of them were elderly, and you said they all, mm-hmm. some of them seemed confused about what was going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And really, it was a morbid situation. People were glum. People were being slapped.
Yeah, well, people are scared. People are scared.
Yeah.
And I think
being slapped with huge fines.
Yeah.
You know,
and Mayor Emanuel has really been working hard at creating, you know, the transparency of records and things like that. He's very interested in making things, you know, easier as much as possible, but there's a lot of work to be done. So I think that this could be a good process and we could all learn from it. And ultimately, I do nothing without expecting success. damn it. But Mike, I also want to just make, you know, you made a nice little comment about me, but I just want to make sure that you understand that work is not done just by me. Our department, the Natural Resources Group, Aaron Dernbaugh's team, but also, you know, Chicago Wilderness, Wild Ones. There's a lot of groups that work with us on those types of things.
So I understand just, that. Open lands.
But, I mean, I just want to, I think it's really important to note that because it is truly a collaborative kind of grassroots effort to make a law or make an ordinance, and you're much more successful if you do it in a way that people are engaged from both sides of the argument and you come to some type of understanding, because city council isn't going to pass something that's just total, just full of tons of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do it, man. Let's do it.
All right. Well, Kathy, here's what we need to do. I need to know, did they give you paperwork that you needed to fill out in order to do an appeal, or did they just...
And they told me where I could do it at the Daly Center, sixth floor.
Yeah.
All right.
You might be able to download something about the appeal.
That's what I'm thinking.
But I think going and figuring out that paperwork is important. You will not have a court date that day. I would be very surprised if you did.
And is it the third, Kathy?
I was going to go on in on the second.
I think that's a good idea. Or go in early. Here's what I'd like you to do. If you can, you know, the sooner the better. If you could even go in tomorrow, that'd be even better. Just to see what kind of paperwork you need. Of course, on the 30th of the last day of the year, or the last month of the year, I imagine it's going to be pretty crazy. But it's going to be crazy there anytime. But we need to have that information as quickly as possible so we can act on it. And so you and I, Kathy, are going to continue to talk. Suzanne, you and I are going to continue to talk. And I like this idea of Civics 101 lesson about how to do an appeal, not just about native plants in your yard, but about other ordinances that you might be in violation of, that sort of thing.
And not just in violation, I think it would be really interesting for people to learn about, you know, there's a lot of really cool codes and ordinances that have been put in place specifically to support this kind of effort.
Yeah.
Both, you know, sustainable, natives, invasives, soils, all kinds of things that I think as city gardeners, urban gardeners, you know, suburban, wherever we are, would be useful for us to know and ultimately see if we can get it done in other communities as well. And that would be my opener to talk later about Regional Trees Initiative, because there's a lot to talk about there, too.
Well, and of course, we would do that as well, talk about the Regional Trees Initiative and segue into your current job. So that's the excuse to get you back on the program, and we'll talk about this.
Sounds fab.
Suzanne, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Okay.
You have a wonderful new year, and you and I will talk real soon.
Great.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody. Mike, get a hold of me if you want to talk about it before the 3rd, okay?
I will definitely do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right, bye-bye.
Kathy, keep the faith, all right?
Yes.
And Kathy, I want to thank you for bringing this to our attention, and we need to work quickly. So anything you can get to me in terms of paperwork, I will help you with, and Suzanne will as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, you take care. And I got to tell you, I got another text from Lisa Albrecht, also from my show. She's in as well with the contribution to the appeal. So
wonderful. I love that woman. Yeah.
I love her too.
Yes.
And she's coughing right now as she listens to the show. All right.
Thank you.
Kathy, we will talk real soon.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.